Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Wow, this is why we do this together. Wow, genius. Okay, now we're good. All right, first, just to make editing easier, I'm going to count to three, and then we're all going to clap, and then we'll get into the actual talking. Okay. One, two, three. Great. Thank you. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our extra special mini-sode, but not actually a mini-sode. My name is Ian Allred. I am a Gleek.
And my name is Lena Knatzer, and I am a Gleek. And today, we are joined by the most special guest we could ever have on the podcast. We're here with super special friend of the podcast, Harper Gray. Oh my God, thank you for being here.
I'm so excited.
So we got a little blurb about Harper Gray's career since the Glee Project. So Harper Gray is a singer-songwriter based in Nashville, Tennessee. During her time on the Glee Project, she came in sixth place overall, after winning the first homework assignment and only performing in the bottom three one time. Since the Glee Project, Harper Gray has founded the Look Up Foundation and gone on to receive critical acclaim for her music. She was named one of Rolling Stone's 10 Artists You Need to Know, CMT's 5 LGBTQ and Americana Artists You Need to Know, and was recognized by CMT's Artist Discovery Program and iHeartMedia's Artist Discovery Program. So welcome, Harper. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you. We just have we have a ton of questions for you. We have a ton of questions about everything about how the Glee Project went down. During our podcast, we did a lot of theorizing of how things could have gone down. So I'm so excited.
We're ready to be debunked.
Yeah, totally. We're making shit up over here. So I would just love to know. Starting off, did you have a history with Glee before? Did you watch the show? Did you see the Glee Project the first season? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I still am a big Gleek. I was a big Glee fan. And at the time was in high school transitioning to college when Glee was at its height. And when I was in college, I was a musical theater major. And it was my senior year, and one of the professors came in one day and just hit us with the real, wait, I need to know how much of a sailor mouth can I have?
You can have
as much of a sailor mouth as you want.
Yeah, seriously.
I was like, oh God. no, but he came in and was just like, he taught us straight. And he was like, you're going to get 500 no's before one maybe. And if that scares you, you need to leave and change majors. And so for me, I was like, okay, I want to get these 500 no's out the way. Mm-hmm. We're not going to audition, you know? And I'd watched Glee Project season one. And funny enough, I watched the whole season on my birthday. They had a marathon on July 4th and the summer before. So I'd watched it in July. And then I started just looking up auditions, and it happened to be they had an online submission. Glee Project season one was such a hit. And I was, if y'all watch the show, you know, I didn't come from anything, very much humble beginnings. So in college, I didn't really have coin to do anything. So I submitted my little video and I heard back from the production company, and they were like, well, we're doing a audition in Nashville, Tennessee. Do you think you could come up there? And I was like, I can come up there if y'all can pay for my gas money. And so they did. They sent a money order to Walmart because we're in Alabama.
I love that.
And I scurried my little way to Walmart, got a money order, filled up my tank, and then went up to Nashville, auditioned. It was the cattle call. I was still in the cattle call and stood outside at the Renaissance Hotel. Every time I drive by it now, I'm like, man, that's where really my career started, was standing outside. And yeah, the audition process from there. Did y'all hear that ding?
Mm-mm.
oh, good. Okay. I love that for us. Okay. But I had a text message and I was like, it came through. But yeah, so the audition process, when we were at the cattle call, it was just like in front of so many different like gatekeepers, mm-hmm. I guess you'd say. So they kind of broke you up in groups of four, and you were with those groups of four until you were eliminated basically from the cattle call. And I went with two of my friends. They were like, oh, you got the gas going off, so we're gonna go with you and we're gonna go up there and audition too. They got out the first round, so then I felt real bad because I kept getting to the next one, and we thought that'd be the last one, and it was like, nope, now you're over here in this pool, you gotta go in front of another like it was, I don't even know, honestly, I do not know who these people were. I never saw them again, who were weeding through the people. So it definitely had like a type they were looking for, whether it was voice or look or story, you know, they were looking for something. And every time the first couple of rounds was solely singing. And I sang before each eat every time. And because they had a list of songs you had to choose from, which I think was like licensing purposes. Mm-hmm. And I sang before each eat every time. And then we got to the last round in Nashville, and Robert was there, who was a mentor on the show. And I sang before each eat, and he was like, do you have another song? And I was like, no, I don't actually. And he was like, well, just sing anything, you know. And the first song that came to my head, which is now my sound check song, is a very sad rendition of You Are My Sunshine. Mm-hmm. And I sang that for him, and he was like, why did you sing it like that? And then I told him a little bit of my story, and then I got pushed through to what was the LA audition. And I left there knowing there was going to be a next. I just didn't know what the next was. And I got an email and went to LA, which was a whole nother audition process.
So in those groups of four in Nashville, was it like the all four of you would move together as a group, or was it like these two move on, these two are not moving on?
Yeah, no, they didn't even have like a number or anything like that. It was like, okay, pink shirt, you go over here. Mm-hmm. It's like red shirt, whatever. Y'all, thank you for coming. Like, it was very, you know, okay, thanks, goodbye. And then, yeah, it was very like emotionless. But when I was in front of Robert, and I want to say that he had who I now know to be like his casting agency, I want to say they were there too. I'm not entirely sure, because it was a weirdly dark room with like a light, because they were recording those right. auditions. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, that was, I don't know, that one felt more like real, more emotion, more seeing us as people, you know. Mm-hmm.
Totally. I get the vibe from Robert that he is just like the best guy in the world. Did you like it get that vibe from him immediately, or was that, I don't know, like what was your experience with him?
Oh yeah, well, I mean, I don't really have the best experience of men in general, so my eyebrows are normally like
yeah, no, totally. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like, you know, so when I met him, I just felt, I was like, man, like, you're the dad everybody wishes they had vibe. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just so kind, lead with his heart kind of person, genuine. I've always felt that. I still feel that from him today. Like, he came to my LA show.
Oh,
like,
that's he's so just awesome. Like
so supportive of everyone. And I mean, I have no, I can't say enough about him. He was so great.
That makes me really happy to hear.
Truly, because he came off that way on TV, mm-hmm. but like, you know what editors do. You can mm-hmm. never be too sure.
Yeah.
So it's very mm-hmm. nice to know that he was nice yeah. in real life.
So nice. Good.
What was the timeline like of auditions? Like, when did you go to the open call? When did you go to LA? And then when did you arrive on set?
So I remember in great detail, because I remember by like certain experiences in my life, I was in a show at my college and I was like so terrified they were going to kick me off the show because I was doing these secret auditions. And then it was, I thought I was going to get all these no's, right? Like that professor was
yeah,
like,
totally.
So I just thought I was just, you know, I wasn't going to get the yeses. And then it started happening. They're like, oh, we're going to be flying you out to LA. And I was like, I've never been west of the Mississippi River at this point in my life. So right. like for me, this girl who's obsessed with Marilyn Monroe, I was like, I get to go to Los Angeles where Marilyn has been. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my mentality at the time. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, like, at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the process was like, it was, I don't know, when we got to LA, I felt like it was more like they really knew. I started seeing people who looked like me. I started seeing people who had similar stories that may not look like me. I started to like hear voices that sounded similar to mine, or like, I just kind of like started seeing that. Whereas like in the cattle call, it wasn't like that at all. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the LA process was very sterile, but at the same time, when you were on camera, it was very like, I felt, again, seen like a person and a human, yeah. You know, but the setup of it was very like sterile. Like we were in a hotel that was right by LAX. And what was so just like shady about it was, if you didn't make it, you just got right back on the plane. Like you didn't really see LA, like you didn't do any of that. So I don't remember how many people there were there, but like, so the first audition was in Nashville, that was in October. Mm-hmm. And then they flew us all out sometime like late, it was around Thanksgiving-ish, to LA to like do the narrowing down, because I think Nashville was kind of one of the first cattle calls, and that ran through November. Then they brought everybody else out to LA, and then they narrowed that down to, I think it was 20 girls, 20 guys. Mm-hmm. And then they were going to do a Skype call on before Christmas. So I got my call on December 23rd. And I remember because there was a tornado happening in Alabama. And I was like, oh my God, my God. And I don't know if y'all remember, they had this like episode before they aired everything, mm-hmm. where they were showing, and it was these like grainy videos. Yep. And if I don't remember if they showed mine, but I do remember being like, okay, we need to speed this up. Tell me if I made it or not, because I need to go. like they were shot. They were like, what are those sirens? I was like, it's a tornado.
That is so funny, because Robert's like trying to do this like switcheroo, yes. Like make you feel sad, and you're like, no, I don't have time. Like, no,
we time. You need to tell me if I'm on the show or if I'm not, because either way, I gotta go.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
Yeah, and so then I found out I was on a show, and we knew we would be leaving sometime in January. And what I thought, this was where I was like, oh my God, like this is real. It was when they told us, they were like, you can ship all your clothes right. to LA, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, okay, I didn't have a perspective of what that would cost until I went to the mail place they said they were like, get the massive boxes, like put everything up. Because I mean, again, at this point in time, I literally like, I would, if I moved into a dorm or whatever, it was like duffel bags, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. you just doing the best you can. And I remember that bill being like so expensive, and they gave us this like credit card to use, and it was just done. And I was like, okay, we're going to LA. Like, okay. You know, like for me, that was when I was like, this is like legit, like they're spending money, and they paid for our flights. And I was like, oh my God. And there was a car that picked us up again. Like, oh wow. Like this is like,
I wouldn't even know how to act.
I didn't. I was like, I didn't know what to do with my hands. And we're also not supposed to talk to anybody. Right. Like, mm-hmm. I guess I should back up to that LA thing, because this was really funny to me when we all were being flown to the first LA audition. You started on these flights, I was like seeing people, I was like, you kind of look like you might be doing something that I'm doing, because mm-hmm. we had to sign all these waivers to not talk, and you're not, they, I mean, it like lock and key, we weren't supposed to say a word to anybody on the, mm-hmm. like don't talk to people. I think I'd only been on like two flights in my life that time too, so I was like just not talking to anybody. I ended up sitting right by two people that were going to be on that audition. They didn't make it on the show, but I'm still friends with them today. And I, because I'm a chatterbox, I was like, mm-hmm. hey, what you doing? You know, where are you going?
Trying to get like, information out of them.
Going to LA like mm-hmm. you are, you know? Like, but yeah, so then we had, we like a car came and picked us up at the airport. which happened again when we were on the show, but like everyone was waiting for a very specific like call card to go to. It was like a code word to go to the car. And then we all were like at the same car. And I was like, okay, so we're obviously going to the same place. And then we're just sitting in the car and not talking. And I was like, this is so weird.
Totally.
Like, this is so bizarre.
That is so...
Yeah, it was so... It's like hindsight. I was like, what in the hell did they have?
I did have a question about that where it was like, were you guys like immediately quarantined when you got onto the show? Like, and then when you left the show, were you like still in LA? How did that work?
So when we got on, when I was actually on the show, when we were doing the LA audition, we weren't really quarantined. We had our own hotel rooms. I think that we were actually supposed to have roommates, and because I remember having a bed, but there was nobody in the bed with me. Like there were two beds and I never had anybody there, but pretty much everyone had two people there and there wasn't a quarantine.
Okay.
But with going to the actual show, that was way more intense on the like lock and key, don't speak, because they didn't want to see one another who was going to be on the show, because we had already met.
Right.
Like everyone. And we were told you cannot, if you have exchanged phone numbers, you cannot call and be like, oh, did you make it? Did you not? Like it was a big violation. And I'm a rule follower, so I didn't say
yeah,
shit
totally.
To shit. Like not a person, you know? And so then when we were there, it was all very like black car, black windows. Like you were taken to set immediately from LA or from LAX. And then the set was also where we lived. So I didn't know any of that at this time. And I also, I'm sure it was in a contract that we signed. I'm sure everything was there. I didn't read any of that. Like I just, where I got to sign, you know, like it's like getting your cable bill, like
yeah,
I'll
totally.
Sign whatever I need to sign. And as soon as we got there, they took your phone, your credit card, your ID, everything and locked it up. You could only have like the Bible and like some another reading material, which I was like, at this point in my life, very Christian, very like need to read my Bible every day, girl. And so I was like, okay, I can have my Bible. That's great. And then they took everything else. And I was like, this is so okay. This is a lot. And then they put us in a room with nothing. And we just sat there for however long. I ended up sitting there for a long time. And then we were then walked into what was the common room. The first time we saw people was right after that initial quarantine. I think, I mean, I had to be in there for a few hours just sitting. Like, then we went in and it was, I didn't know where I was going. They were like, okay, like you're going to walk in a room. And I was like, okay, you know, like just off the plane too, looking a mess. Like they didn't get warm. But then it's like, I'm like, oh, hi, you know, but yeah, so that was, there was that quarantine. And then when we got eliminated, I don't know how it was for everybody else, but at this point, I think like 12 weeks had passed of me being with the crew. So I had become friends with a lot of the crew and, we were told, I was just, at this point, I was like, I'm going to break every rule because I just got kicked off this stuff. And we weren't supposed to like, we weren't supposed to order room service or anything like that. And like, there's a lot of things I'm sure y'all have questions about in terms of like talking to family, which there were very strict rules about talking to people throughout the show. And I had this really incredible couple of PAs and one of them were like, here, you can use my phone. Like when I got eliminated.
Yeah.
So I, she like snuck me the phone. I won't say her name, but, and I called my girlfriend at the time and I called my grandmother and they were like, just like order room service and just like watch movies. And A Day with Marilyn had just come out. So I just bought
I
it
that movie.
And I ordered everything that I could. Cause I was like, it's not on my name. They like flew all of my clothes here. They can pay for this.
Totally.
Cause it was like very much like, you can't do any of that. And I was like, I'm just going to order. I ordered everything off
good.
That menu.
Good
and
for
just
you.
Had a little taste. Just yeah. So the quarantine, I mean, we were under the same contract where you weren't supposed to talk about anything, which they only had one more episode after me.
Right.
So like in terms of like the span. So I wasn't really away from like anyone mm-hmm. for, I never got sent home because we started filming the next day for that last episode. So I never got sent back, but everyone else before me did get sent back home.
So Max Field, who was the first person eliminated, he's great.
We love him.
I know. He's a songwriter on one of my singles, Love You Anyway. We wrote that together.
I would love that song. I didn't know this was him.
My little gay bop. Yeah. him and I wrote that together.
Oh my gosh. Well, that sounds incredible. So good for him. Also good for you, of course.
Yes, thank you.
So he fully went home for a few weeks and then came back to LA for the finale?
Cool.
Yeah.
And was he still under NDA? Could he not tell people he had been on the Glee project? He just was I was out of town for a little bit?
Yeah, he was still under NDA.
Okay. In my mind, they just stuck him in a hotel room for 12 literally, weeks.
My headcanon was himself. Every contestant was living in a Marriott together in LA.
Yeah, no, they all got sent back. And I think Max was only there for 3 days.
Right.
Because it was the film schedule was on a 6-day schedule and then a dark day. But that first episode, for some reason, I feel like that first episode was it was filmed real quick. He got sent home and then they all were sent home. I don't know what that experience looked like, but so I was in that hotel room watching A Day with Marilyn, what is that movie called? A Walk with
My
Marilyn.
My Week with Marilyn, I think.
My Week with Marilyn, that's it. Yes.
I love that movie. I am obsessed with that.
So speaking of the schedule, what was the 6-day process usually like? Did you have downtime during the 6 days? What days did homework assignments usually happen? What days did shoots normally happen? All of that stuff.
So the flow was like you saw on TV in terms of what we did in a linear format. Homework assignment was first. Getting the recording for the homework assignment came before that. It all flowed how you do see on TV. It was a 6-day shoot schedule. A thing you should know about my personality was I was they had a nickname for me on the show. The crew did. And I'm sure now the contestant or the contenders, as they'd say, would call me this too. But they said I was the silent killer because I just literally would wake up first, would go to sleep last. I wanted to have my hot shower. And I knew I needed to be up first. It was always me, Abraham, and Tyler that were up first. And I was up before them always, even when they were I'm going to beat Santa to get up. And I'm no. That's cute, though. But so I would be up at 5 in the morning all the time. And then we would film all day and then do those interviews. So really, it was whenever you finished what production had for you that day. For instance, on the one shot song. Why can I not think of it?
Oh my gosh. The one in the gym.
The final countdown.
Yeah. That one, they ended up interviewing me a lot for it because my kneecap was broken. I broke my kneecap on the first week. And then I was getting sick. I don't know. I was just a mess, but I remember that shoot, I ended up having to do my interview until 2 or 3 in the morning just because of how much they wanted me talking about. But then there were other times where I said more on camera and they didn't need interviews. And I was just always the facial expression girl that I feel they were we don't really need to know what she's saying because her face has it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So we'll leave it up for question. But in terms of homework assignment was first. And then you would, if you ended up winning the homework assignment, you had time with the mentor. Mm-hmm. And then when you had the time with the mentor, when that person came back to set, that's when they handed out what was going to be the recorded song and what was going to be the music video or that for that week. And it always went along with the theme of the week, whether it was danceability, adaptability, that kind of stuff. The only one they didn't do that with was adaptability, where we got the we did get the like Jesse J song like right before going in the booth. Mm-hmm. Whereas before that, we got everything, like we had a night and we had like little MP3 players to listen to mm-hmm. everything. And it only had like a track and then like a just instrumental okay. of what we were doing. And so then we record that. And then the next day was music video day. So we would do the music video. And then the next day was bottom three day. And that day was always never like consistent because you were filming around Ryan Murphy's schedule.
Right,
and
absolutely.
He was filming, I think, the Witch American Horror at the time. So it was just like around his schedule. And then the next day we did the going away song, the Keep Holding yeah. On. Mm-hmm. So we would do that song. I don't know if I talked about this or not. I think I've talked about it on TikTok before, but we all recorded our individual Keep Holding On songs the very first day that we got right. on set. Mm-hmm. Like, so everyone had already done their Keep Holding On song. And then on that last day of filming, we did the bum, 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 mm-hmm. that whole thing, looking longingly as if whoever was sent away, because they were already gone. So they were never standing there. We were just standing there. And then when we finished that, it was dark day.
Okay.
That was kind of the flow.
I have a question, a clarification of what you just said. The one-on-one, you would do the homework assignment, obviously, for the guest mentor. And then did the one-on-one between the winner and the guest mentor happen immediately after that, before you got the music video assignment?
For me, it did. And I want to say for everyone, it did, because they had the Glee star on set that day. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I want to say that did happen for everyone. Like, you, if you won, they would do like a reset for what that one-on-one would look like in the choir room. And then you would have that time with them and then go back to set. But set was we were already home. So,
right. Yeah.
The only things that were, we didn't have a commute. The only things that weren't on set was we did go to a recording studio in Burbank.
Okay.
So that was not on set. And then the music videos were not on set. Those were on location.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. How I listened to your interview on Gleek of the Week, and I follow you on TikTok. So I'm obsessed with everything you're doing right now. But and you talked a little bit about Lea Michele on both of those, but how was that? Was that just like, how much time did you get with her? Did you like have some advice from her that you like has like stuck with you?
Yeah. I mean, so everybody has their opinions about her. I can only speak to my experience with her. She was lovely. She was great with my time. And I truly felt like when she was in that choir room with all of us, I never felt like she was like judgy or anything.
Totally.
And I would fully remember, like, in Here I Go Again, there's this like high ass note in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I was given that song, like, I don't know that they planned homework assignment winners, but one can theorize. I don't know. I kind of felt like I was being given that song to see if I could do it. And it would be like the drama of like not, you know, but they just didn't know me yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Like face melting. I remember that first episode is so fun. And like, just like you being like, no, I can do it. And then cutting to you doing it. I was like, oh my God, I lost my mind.
Literally like the past 2 weeks, every time Lena and I have talked about this interview and planning it, I always sing that part because it has stuck with me. You like melting. That F has stuck with me so much.
And it was like a little higher than Nikki Anders wanted me to. And she was like, yes.
I'm obsessed.
I was like,
with that.
Yes.
Totally.
The best advice he gave was like the not showing all of your cards to everyone, mm-hmm. especially in a competition like setting. Because she's also a musical theater girl, which I have that heart in me too of, it is a competition. You don't take it personally. Like at the mm-hmm. end of the day, you may miss out, not because you're not the best, but because you're an inch shorter or your eyes are blue or your hair is blonde, like, you know, things that just don't fit for what is needed. And so No one knew. I never sang that note in front of anyone until they heard it in the booth, and they heard it one time because we only did it once.
I trusted her,
and I think I was like, whether this is the Leah or the Rachel Berry of you, I was like, I trusted her, and I was like, okay, I'm not gonna let anybody know I can hit this note then, and I didn't, and the crew didn't know. They were following me around that house. That's why I felt like they were trying to see if I could do it. They were ready for the fail. I feel like, you know, they were ready to like catch the fail. And I went around that whole set. I was outside. I was at the gym. I was at the, like on my bed, just listening over and over to it. And yeah, so I don't know. That was, but my experience with her was lovely. And that advice I still use today. Like I have a really big audition on Saturday and I got a call back for, and like I'm not gonna show my cards till I get in that room, you know.
Honestly, I love that. I think that's great advice. I love that. And honestly, like watching her interact with all of you, especially in that like talk back session she had with you all, she was like, you were so amazing, you were so beautiful, my eyes like go right to you. I thought she was like so gracious, so I'm glad to hear all of that, you know.
Yeah, she was. I felt like she was genuinely watching and listening. You know, she wasn't just talking to us. She was listening to us and listening to what we had to say too. And it was a great first week because I mean, it was Leah and Michelle and we're on Glee Project.
Speaking of, you know, feeling like the producers were kind of like wanting you to fail, do you have any other moments that you can remember from your time on the Glee Project that it felt like the producers were kind of trying to like set up certain narratives or like make certain things happen for television?
Not really. So I don't know. I never felt like they were like, okay, it was never a situation where like, you're going to do this, you're going to say this, you're going to be this, you're going to be with this person. It was never anything like that. I feel like they were always ready for anything to go either direction. So they were ready for the fail, but they also were ready for me to kill it. You know, they just didn't know what it was going to be. So they were like getting that. I do feel like they wanted me and Blake to be together, which is just never going to happen.
They're barking up the wrong tree.
And I think they realized it was never going to happen when I was in the first like bottom four. And that was when I had my coming out moment on stage. But up until that moment, I felt like they were always like, oh, like, Sienna, what do y'all think about this? You know, like it was that kind of thing versus like they were setting up moments, but it wasn't setting up like moments, if that makes sense. Like it was still us talking, but it was me and Blake talking as two friends on film versus like, you know, romantically. So, but they got their romance from other people. So that was
they certainly did. And I ate it up.
I was crazy. Oh my gosh.
So speaking about, you have talked about this on your TikTok that when you were in the bottom four, you had your coming out moment. I would love to hear more about that, whatever you're comfortable sharing. You mentioned on your TikTok that it was something that did not make the air, which you were very grateful for. Was that a conversation they had had with you, or was that just a surprise to you that it did not make it to air?
So I was shocked. I was watching along with everybody else if that was going to air or not. And I was ready for it, too, because I was like, this is the drama, you know, like... and they didn't air it. And I think that for me, it was a couple of people, Robert being one of them, who were really in my corner of she's not ready to share this. Like we are doing a complete disservice, not as like, forget the TV show. This is a person. Yeah. And Robert, and there was another producer, Christopher Orne, who he's a gay guy from Georgia. And he was like, we are not sharing this. Like, this is not, and they are saying that to me, but no, you know, like if that was actually what was going to happen or not. But ironically, it was Sexuality Week. And I just like was not, I don't know. I think it was because of the where I was at in my life. I had done so much deconstruction of answering that question of, can you be gay and Christian? Like my head when I watch, it's hard for me to watch Glee Project because I don't even know who that girl is anymore because of what I was going through in my personal life. Like, I was so just like riddled with anxiety and so desperate for answers in my personal life that like, I don't even know who that person is, you know, and now I know, but I that certainly did not then. And in that episode, I still have never had this big coming out story because that's just not been a part of my journey. I've been very blessed and fortunate to have been supported, especially in the South, by friends and family who just don't give a shit. They're like, we love you, period. Like, I don't care, you know, and that's kind of been my journey. As the moment I feel like I'm being tolerated by somebody, you are gone. You do not get to be in my space and in my energy. And I'm very clear about that, you know? So like when I though was on that episode in particular, and it was sexuality week, and I was having to do this dance with Michael, and I was like, this is so weird. And like, I felt like, because Glee Project was, you know, intertwining personal and acting. So that blurred line for me was hard to, I don't know, just kind of like sit in, because I couldn't just like, it's a big reason why I am not I don't go to Shanna anymore, is that I needed separation from like my personal life. And I, in that moment, I just was like, I don't know if I'm like, this feels so weird on a personal level. I can't connect on the acting space. Like, I don't know, like, what I'm doing, you know? And I would never go out for a part where I'm dancing with a guy, like, at that point in my life. Like, I was just like, so black and white with things. And when we got on the stage, I just remember, I don't even remember who asked the question, but they asked, like, why could you not do this, basically? Like, that was the, I don't remember who asked it, but then I just remember, like, breaking down. And it was Michael and Charlie, and I can't remember, it might have been Tyler on stage, the four, but I remember Charlie like peering over at me and was just like, you don't have, because they all knew I was gay. Like, and Charlie was like, you don't have to talk about this. You can just like not, you know? And I just like, I was like full body sobbing. And I said, I was like, because I'm gay. And like, I feel, I have no relationship with my father's side of the family for so many reasons. They're everything bad you hear about Alabama is my dad's story. So I have worked to, ever since I was like 12, to break away from that. And there was a lot of fear of what my dad would do if he saw this on TV. And they had, one thing I will say about the production crew on Glee Project and the producers, they had like a psychologist on staff. They were taking care of our mental health, which was, at the time, I had no idea how incredible that was. But it was, they had done a lot of background checks too, and they knew what I was saying was real. Did they know that, like, have y'all listened to S-Town podcast? Well, if you like true crime, you should listen to it. But it is based on a story in Alabama, and my hometown is very much like that. Like, there's just a lot of secrets that like don't get told. And I think they knew that like my dad was not a great man. And so that, I think, played a role in it too. And then I do think they could just see like I was not ready to share. And they didn't ask me more. It really was just a short, like, because I'm gay, you know, like, and I think that I know the room was like, what, you know, like, cause no one, I didn't talk about it with anybody. And my partner at the time was like a super, I met her. She was a worship leader. Like, we met in church. And so we both were just like, I was like outing her. I was outing myself. I was out, you know, and like, it was just so much. And yeah, I mean, long story short, I do believe that they recognized, you know, not to share this part of my story. It was my story to share when I was ready to share it. And I'm so grateful they did that. I literally, like, at my LA show, a lot of the Glee Project contenders, they came out, and I call my friends, but, and I sang a mashup for them just in honor of them, because like They have supported me in my journey as a person and as a country artist. And like, it hasn't been easy. I think a big reason why I haven't made it further in country music is because of my sexuality, but I'm hoping to pave the way for other people that look like me, that are like me, to be able to do what I do unapologetically and not, you know, have to worry about saying who's, I mean, equality happens when we don't have to like say, you know, if we just are, you know. Totally. So there's a lot of work to be done in country music, y'all, but we're here for it.
Absolutely. And you're like, hearing that, I can't express to you how grateful I am to hear that story. So thank you for sharing it with us. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, y'all created a safe space to share. So kudos to you guys too.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
That's very nice.
I obviously there's a million more questions, but yeah, I just wanted, that was just very special to hear coming from you. And I applaud you a lot on how brave you were and are and continue to be, and how much you care about A, being authentically yourself, but then B, paving the way so that it is easier for the next generation to authentically be themselves.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, especially now being a mom too, there's so, I mean, the PTO here is going to hate me because I'm about to be all
good
in their shit. They don't even know, but they're about to. there's just so much, you know, like there's like an approved reading list here in Tennessee. Like I can't take a book in that looks like my family, period. Mm-hmm. Like my child would get sent home. So there's just so much that still has to be done. But for the longest time, I wanted to run away and like, okay, I need to go be with people who think just like me. But then I was like, no, like I actually am here for a reason. I'm in this space in Nashville, Tennessee, to show people that like, this is not out of the norm, you know, like this is something to be loved and celebrated. And so, yeah, we work in.
That is so incredible.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Really quickly, you just like touched on this, and I know you've spoken about it before, but I've never heard a lot about it. You broke your knee the first weekend on the project. I would love to hear more about that.
Oh my God. I don't even remember if it was walking up the stage or walking down the stage. It was one of the two to sing Keep Holding On. I think it was walking off the stage because
it was to sing like the goodbye song First Day.
I was like, this is great. This is really good. it was coming down the stage and I fell. I still have like, it's like this shattered little piece on my knee that it doesn't, it doesn't hurt, but it, But what it did provide for me was that there was this incredible PA, Matthew Barden, who is no longer with us. He actually, unfortunately, committed suicide because of his sexuality, which was so heartbreaking for all of everybody with Glee Project. Like, we adored him. So, truly, I just take that as a moment. Like, if anybody out there is struggling with their sexuality in particular or being put in situations where they feel like they do not have worth, you do, please DM me because I will spend hours talking to you because you matter. But Matthew, he would take, I was obsessed. I have obsessions. Okay. Like I'm one of those people that, you know, if you watch me for a day, you see my patterns. It never changes. Like I'm like a creature of habit. And Matthew picked up on the fact that I love caramel frappuccinos from Starbucks with a shit ton of caramel in it. And I had to go to the doctor for my knee once a week to like make sure because it happened on set. So they were then liable, you know? And so he would take me and we would always go get caramel frappuccinos with like a shit ton of caramel. Mm-hmm. And we would just like ride around until I drank it because we couldn't have that, you know. And then I found out anytime a contestant like went with him somewhere, he would go take them somewhere like special. Like with Abraham, they went to like a restaurant that he loved. Like he just salt of the earth. And yeah. So, yeah, but all that Joey said, having to go to the knee doctor like all the time, they gave me medicine for it, the whole thing, like that whole, I had that. And then something else that we don't talk about was that the very first episode I had like a bang, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And keep holding on, my bangs got burned off in the first episode.
What
the first
what happened
episode, so no one talks about it. Y'all, I literally was like, what just happened to my hair? Like, I had this bang, right? And like, I'm the lead girl of this song. And mm-hmm. I was getting a quick change from a scene they don't even use in the music video. Like, we were, one of the scenes at first was I was in this towel and like a head wrap. Like, I just mm-hmm. got out of a shower or some weird shit. And I had to quick change me into that rock star outfit where my uh-huh. bangs were down. And so my hair was wet because they were doing this thing and they just like quickly did mm-hmm. my bangs. And I saw what I thought was steam. Was not. It was smoke. My bangs got like singed. And so if you go back and watch on Glee Project, like you'll see the bangs start to look a little crispy. It's fine. We're good now. Right. But I learned a lesson where I'm like, I don't let anybody, I have to know you to touch my hair. Mm-hmm. And if I could be called a diva for that, call me a diva. I don't care. Like, call it what it is. Because, yeah, that was it took a year and a half for my, I had to like grow it out long enough just so we could mm-hmm. cut it. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, because what do you do with your bangs? You can't just like cut them like this. That's awful. And they don't even use it in the music video?
No!
Are you kidding? That makes me mad.
So wild. Are you
kidding? Holy moly.
I just remember Flo, who I love her. Mm-hmm. She was not who did this, but she was our main hair girl. Because we had so many contenders on that very first episode, they had to have more hair people in. And Flo was our like normal person. And she was started to like kind of comb my hair and it would just be flaking off. Like, I remember because I had like any of the blonde girls, like me and Allie on stage, our hair, if it wasn't like kind of just, I don't know, put in place, it started to look like mm-hmm. angels. It would just be like all weird. So she was always having to come out and she would come and like fix my bang and it would just like flake off. It's so light.
Oh my gosh.
No, but I never complained.
You never did. You know what? That is one of my favorite like things about the Glee Project in general, but especially you on the Glee Project. I feel like you have this energy of like working your ass off the entire time and you have like the best attitude, which like I remember as a young person watching the Glee Project and just learning so much from like everyone's talk of good attitudes, but especially yours, and hearing that you got your bangs singed off and you like still had a good attitude, which like obviously, oh, I can't even imagine what like that must have been like. But like, I just want to commend you. I just feel like I learned a lot about like work ethic from you and from watching you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thank you for being on the Glee Project.
Lord. Yeah, that was a memory. Yeah. Allie Stroker, she's a keeper too, because her energy was just very much like, oh, well, you know, that's their business. You know, like we just got to keep on going. Yeah.
Who would you say, speaking of other contenders, who would you say you were like closest with while you were on set?
I'd say for sure Abraham and Allie were my like two. Abraham is still one of my like dearest friends. I love him so much. And Allie as well. They're just salt of the earth. Like, I mean, incredible people. And but I love so many of them, like Eileen and Lily and Nellie. I mean, they're all just so awesome, you know. And Michael, he's in Nashville mm-hmm. now. Max, like I don't keep up with like everybody, but what's funny is we all follow each other, so you just kind of keep, you know, up with what you see or what they post, and it's, you know, it's an experience that we'll never have with anybody else.
Totally.
Yeah.
So it's like there's just the camaraderie there that will always be there, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. I get that vibe from you all as well, watching the show, that like there was this small drama between like Lily and Lily Mae and Eileen. But other than that, I feel like you guys all, and even that was like, you know, friends like having a rivalry, but that was a chill from at least my perspective. But it seemed like you guys all really got along, which I loved to watch and I thought was refreshing to see.
Yeah, we did for the most part. There were some people, not people. There was one person that I did not get along with at all. And my not get along with, I just like was like this whenever he was around. Because I was just like, I don't do inauthenticity. That's the word we're searching for. The moment I feel like you are bullshitting or lying, I don't have time for it. Like I just, you know, and yeah, that was my experience with Mario. I was not into the way that he treated people off camera. And then it started to be on camera later where I think that people did start to see that, but we all saw it from day one. And I was like, I just couldn't. I don't know. I just think the way you treat people, and I hope that he's different now. He's one person I know nothing about now. But I didn't like how he treated people on the show. So
I hear that.
But then what was funny though, was that I love Lily Mae now. She is incredible. But on the show, she and I actually had some drama that they didn't air because we were always like, wanting the same part. And so we would have these little singing competitions like to get the part. And there was this one, I've never talked about this before outside of Glee Project. But it was the Kelly Clarkson homework assignment song. We did this whole thing, and this was when the crew was like, oh my god, you're literally just like a silent killer about things. This was when they really started calling me that. But it was, we had to, for the homework assignment, we wanted the same part of the song or whatever, which I had kind of tapped in on. It's like, okay, when you're doing a homework assignment, way to stand out, be the first line of the verse or the last line of the verse, first line of chorus, last line of chorus. And she and I wanted the same part, and someone was like, well, why don't y'all like have a sing off and we'll vote? And I was like, okay, Lily, go first. And so she got up there and she sang. And then I got up there and sang. And I finished and I said, you know what? You can just have the part.
They didn't put that on TV. Are you kidding?
Me and Lily, we hadn't talked about it in a while, but we like laugh about that. But yeah, her and Eileen, it's funny, I never felt the tension, but then I saw it and I was like, oh, I guess that was there, you know. I didn't really feel it that much. I think Lily, she's competitive like me. So our competitive spirit were like, okay, let's like do this, you know, and we're both confident too. So that was on top of that. But I love her. She's so great. And yeah, but they didn't air that. And I was like,
I cannot even believe. Can you tell us a little bit more about how like the homework assignments would work? Cause I know that you would like fight over the like the lines, but then did you have like an assigned choreographer for that week? Like how would the staging of all of that work?
Normally we actually did the homework assignments ourselves, which we normally looked at Abraham to help us because he was the like dancer. But it wasn't that much staging. It was more us just kind of like, you know, show choir, musical theater, having fun, figuring out like who goes where. That was really the only week that I had a, like, I want this line moment. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if other people had any moments where it wasn't just kind of naturally worked out. I think that might be why they didn't intertwine that in, because it would have come out of left field doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. But the night before when we would get the homework assignment, we would just work it. And then we had to do it in the choir room the next day and perform it for pretty much everyone. But the crew they filmed us so they could kind of see, okay, this is what they're creating. This is where we'll have lighting, mm-hmm. camera, cool. all that kind of stuff. So it really was like, I know people want to say that it was scripted, but we really did hold all the power of mm-hmm. everything. And they like worked around what we did.
That's awesome.
So you would, the actual like performance for the homework assignment was like fully the next day after you had planned it out?
Yeah, we'd normally get the homework assignment like late midday after after we did the Keep Holding On song. So we'd actually have the homework assignment for a full day, because on our dark day, we could work on it. So okay. after we did the Keep Holding On, you know, goodbye thing, we would normally get the homework assignment sometime during that time after doing that. Then we had our dark day. Then the first day was choir room homework assignment.
Okay.
Awesome. What kind of stuff did you do on the dark day? Like, what did you, especially since you were quarantined and cut off from everything?
You only had the Bible with you.
Like, what were you doing on your downtime?
That was the day that I slept. Because I'd be like, okay, it's a marathon from day mm-hmm. one till day six. But I slept on that day a lot. And then we normally would have dinner as contenders somewhere in the city. Which was always nice because we didn't have to pay for it. I was like, that's great. We'd have like, I remember going to a couple of, we were on Sunset Boulevard. So we would always kind of like walk to a different place around that area. With our, I call him our Wrangler Z. He was our like kind of on set chaperone mm-hmm. for us to make sure no one left the rooms and like all that kind of stuff, which I broke out of there one day because I lost my mind.
I heard about that. was that like just like a sneaky thing that you said you went to like Starbucks on the Glee on Glee of the Week?
I did.
Oh, I love that. And like, how did that work? What did you do?
I was just at a breaking point with, mm-hmm. I think the thing that I didn't read the fine lines of was I talked to my grandmother every day.
Right.
And I didn't realize I wouldn't be able to talk to my grandmother because they had us like sign people who would like be the people you would reach out to. They had to be on a like non-disclosure mm-hmm. list. Mm-hmm. And so they had to sign. And then when you did get to talk to them, there was like, for us, it was Matthew Barden would always be standing there to make sure we didn't say anything that we weren't supposed to say. And then it was like only for 10 minutes that you could talk. And it was just so restricted in that space. That was the first time I'd ever experienced that. And I felt like I was going crazy. I was just like, I need to talk to somebody that I know. And it was the only people I could talk to was my Mimi and my girlfriend at the time. And it was just, I don't know. I just had that breaking point. I didn't have cards. I didn't have anything. I didn't even have shoes on when I ran to that Starbucks. I literally just knew where it was because when we would drive to Burbank mm-hmm. in this van, I saw where the Starbucks was and I just went to it. And there was the really nice PA, the other girl that was like, she knew where I'd probably go. and so she ended up buying my drink and
that's so nice.
That's a really sweet story for you sneaking off campus. I love that.
Yeah. Yes.
This is something that we were like theorizing about. So you mentioned obviously you were like very cut off from everything. I imagine you did not have just like free internet access while you were on campus.
No.
So during Theatricality Week, you got that music video shoot where all of you were a different pop star. Were you given like resources to research your pop star, or were they just kind of assuming like you were already familiar with them?
Yeah. No, we didn't have any resources.
Shoot.
like at all. I mean, if you watch my face when that more than words guy came in, I didn't know who the hell he was. I was like, yes!
Love that.
Like everybody else was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I didn't know the Here I Go Again song. Like, I grew up in the country. Like, I literally was like, I grew up on Reba McEntire. Like, yep. So, but yeah, no, we didn't have resources. I did see what they were going to be putting me in. Mm-hmm. In wardrobe, I saw a picture because they were working on my costume the most because they mm-hmm. hand sewed that meat, the mm-hmm. whole wardrobe department. And so, and I love Lady Gaga. Like, she is, I was a huge fan. So I was familiar with the meat dress. I was happy that I did get her because I, you know, knew her, know what she stands for, all that good stuff. But yeah, that was an episode.
Yeah, I would love to hear that, more about your experience in that meat dress.
It randomly caused big drama on our podcast because Ian was convinced because you were such a champ about it, that it, like, it couldn't have been real meat. And then we listened to the week.
Real.
Yeah. It, like, that is so...
That's insane.
That feels unsafe. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, well, I got a bacteria infection. I went to the doctor again, got Starbucks, it was fine. But I did have to get a thing. Like, but yeah, it was real meat. I thought what the grossest thing to me wasn't the meat dress. It was being around all of the food in this mm-hmm. grocery store. Mm-hmm. In a meat dress.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is...
I didn't even think about that.
So was that a real grocery store?
Yes. We went, we filmed that. We filmed that shoot at night. That was our very first night shoot. And so we were, I mean, I was in that meat dress just bear crawling mm-hmm. on this like
oh my meat gosh.
Thing. But yeah, we filmed for hours. And what was so weird about it was that one, it was the grocery store, two, that meat dress, it was so heavy mm-hmm. and then it's meat, so it dried out and it turned into like jerky. Like if you watch kind of like later, it is brown in spots because it had started to dry out because they were sewing this thing before. Then I get it on and it was refrigerated at first too. Mm-hmm. They put it in the refrigerator so that when I put it on, it's freezing.
Oh my and gosh. Then
yeah, no, it was very much real. And that little like steak on my head, real.
Oh, but real. Were you wigged at least?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That music video turned out.
It's very good.
So well.
Yeah, that was
like,
good.
I feel like there was so many things that like elevated from Glee Project Season 1, but especially like how amazing all of the music videos were, and especially that one. Like, you guys are all look like professional dancers, and you look just like all of you could be like could have. It was like your own tiny Glee Club. Like that should be on Fox. Yeah. It was crazy. Did you have a favorite music video?
I really enjoyed Theatricality. Mm-hmm. I thought that was. I liked Challenges. I really did like that one a lot. And then I liked the Slushy video because I was a swimmer growing up. So I thought that one was so cool. And it was so cool watching Allie like go through that music video too, because she had her own challenges within it. And she just rocked out. Like it was so cool. And that was just like your Glee initiation, you know, it's like totally. Being Slushy in the face. I was like, yes, this is great. So, so probably those. Too. And the bullying episode, there were a few that I was just like, these are so good, you know, like the concepts mm-hmm. are great. And it taught me a lot for what I do now in my life, for sure. Like going through those conceptualizations and like storyboarding and like mm-hmm. seeing what all they did to put it together was great.
I love that. That's awesome. Did you have like a shoot that was like maybe the hardest or like one that you didn't like or anything like that?
Danceability. I was like, well, I got this girl, aka me, in here doing this, and my knee was like at mm-hmm. peak pain totally. At that point.
Yeah.
And there was this like moment where Robert came out to a tent. This didn't make the air either because I'm sure they were like, okay, yeah, she's never gonna go home. But he was like, you know, we care about your health. Like, you know, if your knee is hurting, like you don't have to do this. And I was like, no, I'm going to be doing this. And so, yeah, but I just didn't care. I wasn't a big partier as a college. I was just kind of like, this is not my shtick. I literally, as soon as I saw danceability, I already was like, well, I am not the dancer in this group. Yeah. So this is not something that I'm going to like, you know, I just need to slide through this week. Mm-hmm. Like that's how I was seeing that week. And yeah, but I mean, that one was the one I was, none of us were really dancers except like Abraham. Like none of us else were like, we all, I think that's why they were like so hard on us in it. Cause they were like, wow, this is like not good.
I love that episode so much because I do feel like, you know, especially Zach Woodley, I just am obsessed with him, but him being like, okay, you guys, what's up? Like, I love Zach Woodley and he was funny in that episode. Did you like working with Zach Woodley? What was your experience with him like?
I loved him. He was so, I feel like he and Robert and Nikki all were exactly like how you see them on TV was how they were in real life. Like Zach was so funny and just like always smiling, always laughing. Like he was just a bright light. And I had a really close relationship with Nikki Anders because I knew who she was. She was a Christian artist at first. And I was like, oh my God, I was like, Nikki Anders is like here. Like, do y'all know that she was in Avalon? Because I know that she was in Avalon. And I was like a super fan of hers from the LA audition. And I took the time, I told her, I was like, if I don't make it any further than today, I just like want to thank you for what you have contributed to the music space. And then I got to work with her and I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed. Like she's awesome.
I love that.
So yeah, she's like a strong personality. So I love especially females like that in just the industry. Mm-hmm. I really love like that strong personality.
I agree. That's one of my favorite things about her is that she like is such a strong personality and just like says what's on her mind, but also does it in a way that is like, you know, she loves you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the vibe I got from her, which I was just obsessed with, you know?
Yeah. That's how going back to like the Mario piece, like I think that he can be a great person,
totally.
You know, and like how Nikki like treated us, like it was honestly how he treated Nikki, which is why I'm saying this. Mm-hmm. And I was that I'm a Cancer. So my loyalties run deep where I was like, what are you saying about Nikki Anders right now? And I think they showed some of that on Glee project of when he was in a bottom and like, and I remember when that aired and I was getting like so called out for my facials because I was sitting right behind Mario and I was, when he was like talking about it and I was just kind of like, what is being said right now? Like I was just like, you know, but, I feel like that's how I feel about Mario is it's kind of that, like, I think I see the good in you and I hope that that's how he is now, you know, is like, he's found that too. But it's weird because Glee Project, you know, it's a competition. So it brings out those shadow sides of people.
Yeah,
totally.
And then when that's your only like experience with them, then it like, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We had a few of our listeners send in questions that they have been wondering about the Glee Project.
Okay.
Lucas wants to know, when you film Last Chance performances, how many cameras were actually on you since there's multiple camera angles? And did you do multiple takes or was it one take?
We did the first. Hi, Lucas. Thanks for the question. So there were, it was one official take. There was one practice take and there were a shit ton of cameras. So the practice take though, you know, it was my first time in the gauntlet there. And I didn't really know what was going on. And the judges were not out for the mentors and Ryan were not there for the practice take. Because the practice take was done, it was like all three of us were, I went out, Eileen, and then Blake, and then it was that same order or whatever. I don't remember the order particularly, but whatever it was, then you went back out and the mentors were there with Ryan the second time. So technically, we did it twice, The first time was for what they call for camera, where it's like they're making lighting changes and like all this kind of stuff. So there were a lot of cameras though. So it was only one take and it was just, they just got a lot of angles. Yeah.
I know. 'Cause I think it's during yours when you're singing Stronger. There's a shot they show where the camera like walks in a semicircle behind your back. And I was like, well, they're getting fancy with this one.
They did. They had like a Steadicam guy who like, he was always there too. So yeah, it was, I don't know that song. I mean, like the 20% of that song that I did sing the lyric to,
I'm
obsessed.
Because that song, you struggle with the lyrics. And there's also the time when you have to sing You Oughta Know. And they're like, surprise, you have to sing the same, the whole song.
This.
And I was so floored by your ability to just like push through not knowing the words. And if I had never heard the song before, I would have been convinced that you sang the words perfectly. Because you were just like so confident.
I'm obsessed.
It was incredible.
Thanks. Come to a show because that is my through line as a performer. Is I don't remember a lyric. It is not a show unless I come up with something completely different. At the LA show, I literally forgot the title of my song, my current single. Like I was like, y'all, I like really like, I'm going to have to sing to the hook to remember the title of the song. So that's good.
I absolutely relate. I am obsessed with that.
Sorry, I think I derailed your train of thought with that comment, though.
No, you're good.
Was that the end? You were saying something about the 20% of Stronger. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know any of those lyrics, like, at all. I went on stage knowing, I don't know this song, so we're just going to do some hand bumps and, you know, try to distract the flips and get through it.
Well, I mean, I know that was the day you went home, which is a pain that will live on forever, but you crushed it. Totally. You did a very good job.
Thank you.
Elizabeth wants to know if the contestants who were 21 plus were allowed to have alcohol on set.
No, it was like a dry set. There was anything going on that I knew of, but then also they also knew that I was the like good girl on stuff, so like you could probably ask somebody else. I'm like, oh my god, we had like a total secret stash. We just made sure Shanna didn't know where it was at.
I love that.
I know you said that you guys would like occasionally go out to dinner at restaurants on the show's dime. Were you ever able to go out besides that, or was it only for like meals that you were able to go out?
It was meals. I think a couple of times we were able to go to like a Walgreens or but we were able to like give our list of necessities to Z, and it was like shipped before shipped was a thing. Like he would magically come back with all of our food items and like everything like that. So we never wanted for anything.
Cool. That's so awesome. It feels like, you know, you've talked so much about how like they all took care of you. It feels like a fun vacation when you describe it sometimes, you know.
I know.
I want to do it. It sounds fun.
I know.
Speaking of it being a fun vacation, what would you say was like the most not fun part of being on the Glee project? Like what was the hardest part of being on the show?
I mean, my instinct reaction is the lack of communication with family. That really affected me personally. And then I don't know. I mean, I had a wonderful experience, like hindsight. Even the like tension between Mario, it was a learning lesson for me of meeting people where they're at and also drawing boundaries for what like I need in my life. I think that was a great thing too. 'Cause I'm normally like, I don't really have like drama in my life. Because I just try to like with people, you know, I try to like keep a, you know, clean circle. But I think like it was difficult maneuvering so many personalities and then so many heightened personalities of being like in a competition setting. And when that wall was broken down and you got to really meet people, and that happened pretty quickly for me with most people, it wasn't as difficult. But I think at first it was the like, I mean, you can say sizing people up, but really it was like just getting to know these people that you're with 24/7, you know?
Right. Yeah. Because it's like you're moving in with not just like new roommates. These are like your competition, but then they have to be your friends. But then all of these things, that's difficult.
And you can't be like, my roommates are irritating me, I'm going to go sit in my car for a while. Yeah. Like, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a question about like how much of coming up with a character was like your responsibility. Like, did they ask you like what kind of songs you like to sing, what kind of like character you would have seen for yourself, or was that like production's job to like give you like the character that you were like building? Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It wasn't talked about at all.
Okay.
At all. Like not to me at least. I truly think they were trying to allow us the space to be ourselves and ourselves inspire a character.
Awesome.
Because it truly was never talked about to me. Like, we see you as this like good gay Christian girl that sings high notes. Like, mm-hmm. That's your typecast or your character. Like, nothing was ever talked about, you know? Mm-hmm. And not even that I heard with other people too, because I sure was listening in some of those interviews to make sure nothing was going on in there that I needed to know about, you know?
That's so cool. And that's so interesting that, and I'm happy to hear that they gave you that space to be yourself rather than like putting some sort of pressure on you for like, you mm-hmm. know, this future thing. So that's, I like to hear that.
Yeah.
I have a question. So I know Gleek of the Week, which you guessed it on, they've had a few Glee Project people on before. And they had McKinley from season one go on, and she talked about how, like, she just kind of ended up on the show and didn't really know anything about Glee. I am so curious if there was anyone on your season that you got the vibe did not actually, wasn't really familiar with the TV show Glee at all and was just there, you know, because they wanted to be a performer and not necessarily that they liked the show itself.
Honestly, no, I think everybody did. I'm trying to think back. Yeah, I think everyone did know the premise and like know Glee to an extent. But then I also was so laser focused on myself and like I was a dog after a bone that I was not concerned with like because I was like, let them not know, you know, like totally. I'm not gonna be the one telling you anything. So don't ask me.
I love that. We've had a debate going on the podcast of what happens after the bottom three and you all, the three, leave and then go one by one to look at the list. We have theorized a lot about what could have happened. How did that like timeline work? Because the two people who made it through the bottom three were like in a room separately. Like, how did that work?
We went to bed. That's how it worked. We literally, it was not right after. It was, we had to go to sleep. And then the next morning we got back in our clothes, at least for my elimination, got back in our clothes and then went back to the choir room. And that was when they would have the setup. Mm-hmm. My experience, I don't know what it's like when you do, not when you do see your name on the list on the callback thing, but I was put in a room and I had a feeling I was going to get kicked off because my friend who brings me my frappuccinos mm-hmm. was like, I got a frappuccino for you. And I was like,
uh-oh.
Why did you get a frappuccino for me? So I had, right before I opened that door, I literally like had a sip of my frappuccino. And then when I went back out the door, she was like, here you go. And I, we went to bed. Then the next morning we got back in our, like for continuity, got back in our outfits and then went to the choir room. And I was in a room with her for, I mean, maybe like 10, 15 minutes. And then whoever was getting eliminated, they had their name done last because I guess I do remember when, from the other side of people who weren't in the bottom three, we were taken into like kind of in the wild, wild west behind the scenes where we, if you notice, like when someone is eliminated, the cast members come on and like give hugs and stuff. So that was off set and or off behind the choir room. And we would be standing out there and you would hear them walking to like see the call back, and you knew that they weren't going to make it because the other two people had already been with you. And then they all come in and like say their goodbyes and stuff. So
that rocks my world that you went to bed. I would have never guessed in my entire life.
Also, like, how do you sleep after giving a bottom three performance?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't. I can't.
We didn't.
Oh my gosh.
That is brutal.
I know.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
I will give you guys a heads up. I have to head out in like 15,
no, absolutely.
20 minutes. So if there's things that like y'all do, I know you said you had questions from people, if there were things y'all really wanted to ask. And I got to tell you on my quiz.
Yes. Oh, let's do that right
let's
now.
Talk about your
okay.
Quiz. First of all, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Yeah. And you can leave us one.
Also, we should just talk because I like y'all.
Oh my gosh, I would love to talk whatever.
I have so many things I want to talk to you about. I can't even deal. So let's talk.
I'm into a part two. Like, we could do a part two.
Oh my gosh, I would love that.
Yeah.
Really fast, sorry, it's just been so long since we've had a guest. I want to remind the listeners what this quiz even is. So
we're extra shy, Ian and I.
So longtime listeners will remember, we have a tradition usually when we have a guest that we have them take the Open Psychometrics personality quiz to find out what Glee character they are. Harper has been so gracious to take that quiz.
So tell us.
Who do y'all think I am? I want to get y'all's guesses before.
Okay.
I don't know. There's also like some characters that you feel like should be on the list, just straight up aren't on the list.
Yeah, because you could be. You could be. Because like what? You could test as like a Carter or Mercedes. You could test as a Brittany, maybe.
I think you are. I just gonna say off the bat that I love Santana Lopez. I think you are a far nicer person than Santana is on the show, but I can see your vibe of like you get stuff done and you're not going to like put up with crap from other people. I'm going to say Santana.
Okay. I'm going to show a picture. Hold on. Cause I screenshot it. Where is it? Take a picture of my phone so you can see. All right.
I'm so excited. Yes!
Oh, Lena was right!
Score!
81% Mercedes Jones.
Good. Yep. She's the best. I love that.
But I will say, I thought I was going to be a Santana because I am a secret Slytherin. You know?
Totally.
I am a not secret Slytherin, so I love that.
I'm the bait girl. Like you, I can get. I'm like the spy you send in. People immediately trust you, and then it's like I get the intel, and then I go back.
Silent killer. Silent killer.
Teach me your ways. Oh my god. Oh my gosh. Did you like who was like the top character you got just on like the big quiz? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was a witch, which I'm like totally here for. I don't watch Vampire Diaries, but it was Bonnie Bennett.
Oh my gosh, yeah, cool.
My wife was like, she's the witch. And I was like,
I love that. That's cool.
As I have my like seance behind me.
I'm obsessed. Oh, that is very exciting. Thank you for sharing
that
with us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. No, that was a fun quiz. I was happy to do it.
I know. Isn't it a fun one? We really like that one. I feel like it says a lot, especially about the Glee characters. So I love that you got Mercedes.
Yeah. Harry Potter, though, I was Molly Weasley.
Wait.
I am obsessed with that.
That feels very accurate to me.
I was like, yeah, I am.
Totally. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, we've only been talking for, what, an hour and a half? You come off, though, as, like, so loving and friendly, mm-hmm. but I also get major not my daughter, you bitch vibes from you. Like, I 100% can see that.
I am a mama bear, period. Like, if you step towards my friends or family, mm-hmm. it's over. You're dead. It's done. That's all.
I love
Molly
Weasley.
You know where you stand with me. Yeah, you do. It's so great.
I just think you are just the best, for real. I am so grateful that you're here. I can't thank you enough for being here. There's so much to learn from everything that we've talked about. And I also really grateful that you're spilling the tea and mm-hmm. spilling the tea everywhere, first of all. So I just thank you so much for being here. I can't even, my heart is so full. Thank you.
No, really fast.
I think we have my daughter wants to say hello.
I would love to say hello. Yeah.
She just woke up, but she's like, oh, I just need to come here. Say hello.
Oh, hi.
She just is, you know, ready. Hi. She's 7 months. So we're learning to clap and say hi.
Gosh.
She's cool. I plan to do a reaction videos of letting her see me on Glee Project on TikTok soon.
Oh, that's incredible.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Thank you for...
Okay, say goodbye. She doesn't know how to say that one yet.
Well, good. Thank you for letting us meet her. Like, congrats on having the most beautiful child ever. What the heck?
Seriously.
Aww, thank you.
Oh my gosh,
she's the best. Anyway, what were you saying? I'm sorry, you know, I cut you.
Oh, you're fine. I was just gonna say, since you have to go soon, just really fast, if there are like any behind the scenes stories that you think are extra fascinating or really want to share, or just anything about your experience that has not been brought up that you would really like to talk about, we would love to hear it.
Well, I mean, y'all got the tea on who, I mean, it's literally everyone's like, who did you not like on the show? Mm-hmm. And it's not that I didn't like him. I didn't like how mm-hmm. he acted on the show. That's all. So there's that. And then the like Lily story, I think it's just like, that was, I bummed it never aired.
That is such a power move. I'm obsessed with it.
But that's like my personality is like that. So that's great for me. I don't know. But I don't know. I think, you know, the biggest thing for me that I think that that show provided for me was really just like not only Glee Project, but Glee is just being unapologetically who you are. Mm-hmm. And I take that with me everywhere that I go in country music specifically. Yeah. Because there is still so much work to be done is here. And I think that Glee and Glee Project bolstered me up and gave me that confidence to walk into that choir room every day here in Nashville and be who I am and sing my story. And if I don't get on this playlist or this billboard or whatever, and, you know, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, I'm still being true to who I am. And that's the heart of Glee is like, don't stop believing, you know, like that is everything. And that I think that that was the essence of Glee Project. You're not going to get along with everybody. And that's also okay. You know, mm-hmm. there's going to be conflict, but there can also be space for resolution. Mm-hmm. And I think that that was something that was really beautiful about majority of everyone in the show is that if there ever was something that wasn't great with one of us, like we resolved it and moved forward. And that was the spirit that I think people may not want. They want to hear the drama of it, but it really was that, you know, it really was like, if we didn't get along, then we worked through it and overcame it. And I just think that's the spirit of Glee, you know? Yeah. And so I think if there's anything to know about me. It's that story and the people I've met along the way, whether it was contenders, the cast, crew, people who watch the show. Like, I do everything that I do now for y'all, because I want to create a space that is safe in country music in the same way that Glee created a space that felt safe for me. The closeted country girl from small town Alabama felt like she was safe enough to go be there, you know, and that means a lot. So I want to create that space too. So
totally. Wow. Thank you. For real. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. Will you tell us your social medias? Do you have anything, any projects coming up, things to plug, and then we'll send you on your way. Thank you so much for being here, for real.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if y'all have like any other questions too, like I'm just a Zoom call away. We can do this again.
I would love that. Thank you.
I have a lot of projects coming up. I'm super busy. I can't talk about a couple of them because but I would love to share it with y'all when I can, because you know, y'all are like family now. I have an EP that'll be coming out in a few months that I'm very excited about. It's really not like showcasing my journey through my coming out experience in the South and through music. So I'm very excited to have finally been able to write music around my story and what that is like for me and what it continues to be. So that'll be coming out in the next few months. The first single is going to be dropping in a few weeks, which I'm so pumped about.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. It's called Dying on the Vine. So I'm so, so pumped to share what is, you know, a big piece of my journey through music. And I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff later this year that hopefully this call back on Saturday.
Yes,
I was going to say break a leg.
You know, there's a lot of irons in the fire that I am, you know, I'm constantly doing. I'm much more than just country music, so I'm trying to keep my hands in a lot of different things and be creative and just share my story. You know, that's what I love to do. So yeah, and then social media, it's all just Harper Gray Music. And then Gray is GRAE for an acronym that God redeems all equally. So
awesome.
Well, Harper, thank you so much for being on this podcast. It's just very gratifying to like meet someone that you look up to and like seems like such a genuine great person, and then be like, oh, they actually are that genuine great person that they were in my head. Just, we have been talking about this literally since you reached out to us on TikTok all those weeks ago. We have been so excited, looking forward to this. It was such a great time. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes. Thank y'all so much. I look forward to hearing it and spreading it everywhere.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay. Bye, everyone. Hope you have a good day.
Well, that was our interview with Harper Gray.
Oh, my God. That really incredible. Just happened. We just got off a Zoom meeting with her. I'm like full shaking. She was so nice. She was so smart. It's so cool.
It's also like, I don't know, a lot of the like appeal of Glee, I feel like, is like the behind the scenes drama.
Yeah.
It is, since it was a show that was so important to us, it is like very nice to hear that at least for the Glee project, the behind the scenes drama was actually like a lot of people being pretty supportive of each other.
Yeah.
That was nice.
But also, she really spilled some tea for us.
Yes, she did.
I was very excited about I was like not even anticipating that that could be anything that she would talk about.
I wasn't even going to ask about it.
Literally. It was very exciting. Oh my gosh. You guys believe that happened?
Well, whoa. Thank you to Harper Gray again. Be sure to follow her on all of her social medias at Harper Gray. Gray is GRAE. Listen to her music on Spotify. Her music is very good.
It is literally so good. I didn't want to say this to her because I didn't want her to feel like I was like, you know, like
buttering her up.
Totally. Yeah. But I was like on a walk the other day listening to the song Free. And that's the whole song is just about like, you know, you can't hold a mountain back. You know, she has like beautiful imagery about, you know, nature, but it's just about like, I'm meant to be free. And I was walking around in New York City listening to that song and just sobbing. She is such a beautiful songwriter. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with her. Holy crap. Our new best friend, Harper Gray.
Well, we're starting season 4 of Glee on Wednesday, everyone. Episode 1, The New Rachel. See you there. If you have any thoughts about that episode, if you have any thoughts about the Glee project, if you have any thoughts about Harper Gray, send them to us. recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
You can follow us on social media if you like at recoveringgleek_podcast on Twitter and Instagram, and then on TikTok we are at recoveringgleek.
Did you say on TikTok we're at recoveringgleek?
Yeah.
On Twitter, we're at Recovering Gleek.
Listen, you guys should be following us and know.
On TikTok, we are at Recovering Gleek _podcast.
If you Google Recovering Gleek, you'll probably find it.
All right. Love you all. Thank you for being here.
Bye.
Thank you again to Harper Gray.
Here's a mini kiss on your mini forehead. Have a great rest of your week. Oh my gosh. I feel uplifted. I feel like I hope this interview uplifts you for the rest of your whole week. I love you. Okay. See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.